We are short of quorum, so we will not be able to officially begin, but we can do a couple of things. One of the first items I'd like to do is introduce the page to this for this committee. I should have taken care of that at previous meetings, but I did not. So I'd like to introduce Mary Peterson. That's Mary over there. And so she's the person to talk to when you have handouts and things that our committee members need. The agenda today includes comprises of presentations from the governor's office, and we'll be looking at the budget that the governor has proposed for higher education. And Susan Hegart is here, and we can begin your presentation if you would like, and then we will call a meeting to order when we have more members here. Well, it kept giving us the impression the slides were changing, you know.
But turning the pages, so yeah. I got done long before you guys did.
So, we have your handout, I think, as a backup plan. Okay, would you like to introduce yourself then for the tape and for the committee?
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Susan Hegart. I'm the director of the Higher Education Services Council. And with me today is Michael Chicanis. He's our director of fiscal and policy, policy and research. And Trish Grimes, who is our legislative liaison. What I wanted to first do with you, we're going to be presenting the governor's budget recommendations today. We talked a little bit of our agency last week. I must provide you with some background and some context. Just a few points on that. The estimated general fund shortfall is about $700 million for this biennium fiscal 06-07.
Excuse me just a moment. Is there a way to adjust that so we can see the rest of the... Just in case there's something up there. That's better. Okay. Proceed.
As you all know, human services spending has increased greatly. In our budget, the governor's budget, there's an increase in the base budget for human services of nearly 20% for FY06 and 07. The governor is recommending an overall increase in state spending for the whole budget over the current biennium of 5.8%. And his recommendation in the E-12 area, pre-K, E-12, is a $184 million increase from the general fund compared to a $12 billion base. A number of you are probably aware that there was a citizens' report that the governor requested last year. In his State of the State speech, he requested that the Citizens League take a look at higher education, and they did that. He asked the Citizens League to examine the challenges and opportunities for higher education in Minnesota. Their report, entitled "Trouble on the Horizon," detailed the pressures on and expectations for Minnesota's higher education sector. In terms of demographics, we're on the cusp of a major economic and demographic shift. As baby boomers retire, working Minnesotans will need to be much more productive to enable Minnesota to keep pace. We know that high school graduates in Minnesota will decline by 10.3%, just over 10% between 2003 and 2013. In terms of economic needs, according to the Minnesota Department of Labor, the number of new jobs requiring at least a bachelor's degree will grow dramatically. This does not take into account the growing demands for people with a two-year degree, and I know the Private College Council has put out some interesting information on that. Opportunity costs. The Citizens League pointed to the opportunity cost of not improving our higher education system. We know something about what our current employers need, but the potential to lose ground in ways that we cannot yet measure is also a factor. Minnesota needs it all. Research, liberal arts, technical education, all of them are critical. In its report, the Citizens League also talked about sustainability. It said that our public education system does not currently have the resources necessary to be everything to everyone, everywhere. And I guess the last point on this slide would be that keeping things the same always is not an option, and we really need the state to be thinking very strategically. Representative Abrams is not here for this slide. He decided not to use the pie chart today, but I think this is an important reality check. Eight slides showing the decline in the higher education spending share in the show here. As a state priority relative to other spending areas, higher education has slipped. In 1987, Minnesota directed more than 50% of its general fund resources to higher education. Today, higher education sees about 9%. So I think the important point is that the funding is not staying the same. It is unlikely to get back up again to 15%. So we need to really be thinking, again, more strategically about how we spend. The next slide shows you in terms of our public system. They enroll about 74% of Minnesota undergraduates. The University of Minnesota and the State College educate about 74% of the state's undergraduate headcount, and you can also see that the career schools and the private colleges, universities also educate a significant number of folks.
I can interrupt for a moment. We do have a quorum present now. I'd like to officially call the meeting of the Higher Education Finance Committee to order. And we're partway through the presentation. Yes, Representative Kowalski.
Can I have you go back a couple of sections to the Citizens League report for a second? Oh. Mr. Chairman Siegard, the tuition increases, you didn't mention anything about tuition increases when you did the overview just now. Could you tell us what the Citizens League said about tuition increases?
I don't have the report, Mr. Chair and Representative Plumsky, I don't have the report before me, but my recollection is that the report noted that tuition has been increasing as there are some pressures on some students because of those increases.
Mr. Chair, you might as well go to the next Plumsky slide.
Seagard.
All right. As long as Representative Abrams is here, right?
I've already done that.
I know.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abrams, you were not here when I discussed the slide showing the decline in higher education spending, but my point on that slide is not that it necessarily shows the decline. Talk about that is that it really gives folks here a reality check that higher education funding may not necessarily stay the same, and it's important to note that.
Dingar, go ahead.
Slide 7, I believe. In terms of the system budget request, the University of Minnesota requested a total of $199.8 million. That change from the last biennium was 18.2%. The Minnesota State Colleges and Universities requested an increase of $197.3 million, and that's a 17.8% increase from the last biennium. You've already heard from the University of Minnesota on their budget request. The University of Minnesota has identified research as the greatest area need to improve the university's research capacity and standing in key areas. I think it's important to note that that's critical from a national and an international perspective that we need the U to be a leader. The university's request represents an 18.2% increase over the current biennium. You've also already heard from the state university system on its proposal for a $197.3 million increase. The Minnesota State College and University's budget request calls for a $44.9 million one-time and a $72.0 million ongoing increase to cover the cost of the system's significant enrollment growth between 2001 and 2003. The system's request reflects an increase over the current biennium of 17.8%. Now on to the governor's recommendation. The governor's focus is on reform, with a strategic focus to his recommendations, and on accountability. In his budget proposal, the governor has singled out higher education as a priority. His recommendations were an 8.4% overall increase in higher education against a backdrop of a 5.8% increase overall, signals of being seriously committed to building Minnesota's higher education capacity. But in his recommendations, he keeps the warnings and advice from the Citizens League and others that there is trouble on the horizon. And if we don't reform, focus, and work towards greater accountability for students and taxpayers, we'll be in trouble. His expectations for the higher education sector is high, and his desire for a more strategic and focused approach are implicit in his budget recommendations. The governor's recommendation for the systems and for the higher education services office is as follows. For the University of Minnesota, he recommends a 113.0% increase. That excludes $7.5 million from the Mayo Foundation partnership. The university also receives a $7.5 million appropriation for the UMayo partnership. And the percent change from 04 to 05 is 10.3%. For the state university system, he's recommending a $107.5 million increase. That's an 8.5% increase from the last biennium. For the higher education services office, there's a $5.5 million decrease. That's a 1.5% decrease from the last biennium. The total proposed budget is $2.7 billion. That's a large budget. And the percent change for higher education over the last biennium, as I mentioned, is 8.4% alone. So the increase for higher ed is greater than the increase for the rest of the budget. Make that important note. In terms of the University of Minnesota, I'll talk about this in a little bit of detail for you. The focus of the governor's recommendation for the University of Minnesota is research. He wants to build on the university's strength as a research powerhouse. And we need the university to be a national and international leader. That's for the good of the state. He recommends funding the $36 million bioscience initiative at the university to recruit new faculty, support research, and support the technical personnel who assist in research. These investments are designed to leverage new outside funding from federal and from private sources. $19.5 million for preparing students for the 21st century. This is for the targeted programs to enhance the undergraduate experience at the university, such as the honors program, fast track program, which enables students to get through their undergraduate work more quickly to enter a professional program. Also included are greater opportunities for undergraduate research. The governor recognizes and supports the university's desire to recruit and keep good students in Minnesota. We need to give them a reason to stay here. $50 million for competitive compensation for merit-driven salary increases. $35 million for research. Researchers at the university brought in more than $500 million in sponsored research in fiscal year 04. That's a lot of money. This funding will support research charge costs, equipment, and other investments associated with an expanded research capacity. A total of $15 million for the Mayo University Partnership with $7.5 million to the university and $7.5 million to the Mayo Foundation. This is the Biotech and Genomics Research Partnership in Rochester that's a collaborative venture. The goal is to position Minnesota as a leader in biotechnology. In total, the governor is recommending a 10.3% increase in funding for the university. In terms of the state university system, I want to just make a couple of comments. The governor recognizes that MinSU serves a very diverse population of students. MinSU is the access point for a majority of students in Minnesota and helps significantly in preparing them for the workforce. There's $50 million to finally finish the transition from a pre-merger funding model to one that recognizes enrollment differences and rewards campuses with cost-effective programs. That's the allocation model that you see on the slide. There's $14 million for Minnesota Online to build a system online course offering, which will expand access for all Minnesotans. MinSU's done a great job in a number of areas really expanding online access, and we commend them for that. $10 million to expand and improve nursing education capacity. Nurses continue to be in very short supply across Minnesota. Expanding capacity is difficult and costly due to the program's need for space, equipment, and on-the-job clinical training sites. And I'd like to note that request was fully funded by the governor. $5.5 million for innovations fund to be used to address the need for emerging curriculum, particularly in technical programs. That was also fully funded. $3 million for the systems individualized farm business management program to meet the needs of businesses in rural Minnesota. A number of farmers need to manage their operations, but they're looking for some transitions and some ways to better manage their operations, and I think this is an interesting program that is being put forward. $20 million to develop centers of excellence, which we'll talk about in more detail in a moment. That's new. And $5 million to provide for merit-based salary incentives for faculty teaching in the centers of excellence programs. The governor is proposing a $107.5 million increase to the state colleges and universities, or an 8.5% increase. Now on to Center of Excellence. The objectives here are to establish flagship programs in four areas. To provide Minnesota students with best-in-class programs. To attract students, faculty, talent, and jobs from outside of Minnesota. To leverage external support. To build a more strategic education system in greater Minnesota. And to establish Minnesota as a leader and as an innovator. The term Centers of Excellence has been around for more than a decade, yet the concept has not taken hold fully and has been defined differently by different people. The governor said he would like our state universities to focus and distinguish themselves more clearly from one another. We see polytech institutions and ag campuses in other states, and while there are a number of excellent and unique programs offered across the state university system, there are not centers of excellence, I think, as the governor envisions them. We must give Minnesota students a reason to stay here. In his $20 million proposal, the governor clarifies his definition of what a center of excellence would look like. He sees this as an essential piece to bring more strategic focus to the state university system. In his plan, he asked the system, and specifically his Board of Trustees, to select flagship programs in specific areas important to the state, based on proposals submitted by those institutions. His plan calls for development of centers of excellence in business, information technology, healthcare, science and engineering, manufacturing technology, and teaching, and then investing in and building the capacity of those programs. And I'd like to note that one of the recommendations that Minsky had was in the area of teaching. And it's very possible, the governor did not fund that directly, but it's very possible that you could take a teaching program and fund that through the Centers of Excellence proposal. Some might ask, is this choosing favorites? I think the governor's answer to that is absolutely. When a state university is designated as a center of excellence in a specific area, all programs at the university benefit and all those rise. More importantly, Minnesota students and taxpayers benefit. These programs can lead the way, be a lighthouse in essence, for other programs throughout the system. They can share best practices and collaborate with others. We also include in the proposal a suggestion, a requirement that the state university work with one or two technical colleges on their proposal, because we know that there are some interesting ideas that are also percolating at the technical college level. For Minnesota to emerge as a leader in today's highly competitive economic and educational environment, it must focus its resources more precisely in key areas. There are a number of additional recommendations also that I'd like to go through in the governor's proposal. I'm going to jump around a little bit on this slide. The state grant upgrade, that's something that the Higher Education Services Office has requested on a number of occasions. I think it's 4 years now that we've requested that. We have an old COBOL system, I think I mentioned that the other day, that's kind of held together with bandages. Our feeling is that this upgrade, we're requesting less than we've requested before, it's a $310 million request, would really help us do a better job analyzing data and being able to compare our data sets against one another.
Can I have a question? You said $3 million, is that, or is it $300,000?
I'm sorry, I said $300,000. $310,000.
Okay. All right.
I apologize. Thank you.
That's you're getting the basic model.
That's right, the basic model. Reciprocity reduction. I talked about this, I think, the other day as well, that we have not had a payment to Wisconsin in a number of years. In fact, this year they're paying us a significant amount of money. I think it's $6 or $7 million. What we've done, we've also analyzed the potential of our payment to North Dakota. And we feel comfortable, the governor is comfortable saying that $2.6 million could be taken from the base each year to leave us with $1 million each year in the reciprocity program. So that's where that reduction is coming from. The Learning Network of Minnesota, I'd just like to note, this was a very difficult decision. All state agencies were asked to make, we had to go through an exercise. All the state agencies did making recommendations about areas of reduction. And none of the choices were easy, especially an agency as small as ours, where most of the funding is in the state grant program. We decided on the Learning Network for two reasons. And one is that since the systems are getting a significant bump in the governor's mind, perhaps they might be able to contribute, since the systems are the ones who benefit quite a bit from this Learning Network. We also thought perhaps that with some of the efficiencies that you see every year in technology, there might be some savings incurred. So I don't want to say that this recommendation came easily. For me, personally, it was a very difficult decision. But I would ask to come up with a list of recommended reductions. I'd like to go to accountability next. In terms of the other proposals, the governor's asked us to develop a performance accountability tool for the higher education sector to tie to state goals. Both systems have some form of accountability measurement going on now, and we'd like to learn from them. But the governor would like to see something more comprehensive that brings more transparency to how effectively goals are being met. We want this to be a tool that you as policymakers can and will use to gauge the return of public investment. We have studied other states and have met with the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education as opposed to do that measuring up reports that you've all seen, I think, and the National Governors Association as well as others. And to do this right, to build on the good work, we need to build on the good work already done. And to make this a thorough yet easy to understand tool, we'll need to build our research capacity at the office. The governor is asking for $400,000 for the following reasons. We'd like to purchase information from licensing and graduate emissions testing organizations. We'd like to contract with testing and survey organizations. We'd like to purchase some national data. And then the other piece would be for administrative costs that we would incur. In addition, the governor's recommended two changes to the state grant program, essentially buying back some of the cuts made to the program 2 years ago. The changes are an increase to the living and living and miscellaneous expenses, LME, which is a more familiar term to all of you, and a move to revert back to recognizing actual tuition and fees rather than average. All students will benefit from the LME increase. It's a $75 increase. We wish it were more, but that's as much as we were able to do. And the other piece on actual tuition, that really reflects real prices. Students at lower cost institutions will probably see the most benefit. In December, when the federal government made a change or update in the federal health program, in deciding how that program would recognize taxable income, it affected the Minnesota grant program. We key off of their tax table. And our office projects that the federal change will result in about $7 million in savings for the grant program. That's where we're going to spend the two items that I just mentioned. The savings will plug back into LME and to actual versus average tuition. The governor is recommending that these recognized savings be reinvested in the program, meaning the upgrades to the program will be revenue neutral. Finally, I'd like to talk a little bit about Rochester. I'm imagining there might be a couple of questions about that after I finish. The governor is recommending a $3.2 million appropriation for creation of a unified four-year higher education institution in Rochester. The reason is growing rapidly, and the time has come to recognize the needs and the resources that we have in that community. But funding does not exist to create another university as we traditionally know it. A planning group will shape the future, but under any plan, it's certain that this institution will, by necessity, look and operate differently from the traditional model. The governor respects the good work that's occurred in that community among the partners, Winona, the Tech Community College, and the university. And I think it would be critical that we include those folks in this planning process so that we make sure, for example, I know Winona is only 45 miles down the road. We want to make sure that we're very sensitive to their involvement in this initiative. But the community has told us that what's there now isn't enough, and we've heard that on a number of occasions. I'm expecting that a number of you here have heard that as well. In the recommendation is $200,000 for planning and a $3 million appropriation for an endowment and initial operations. There are a number of possibilities. It's been left open. We really debated whether to make it specific or to leave it somewhat open, and the feeling was that the ideas and the suggestion ought to come from the community, that we ought not to be the ones telling them how to do this. There could be a program-specific focus. They could focus on some of the critical things that are going on in that community right now, the Mayo Clinic. There's a health science focus. There's also an engineering focus with IBM. So you could have something that focused more on those resources in that community. Maybe it's a model that provides significant private support with a matching component, or a high-tuition, high-aid model. The problem is that if we let the dollars lead us, and never let ideas have a chance to be discussed, we really wouldn't get anywhere. So we would ask that you at least give this a chance to be discussed seriously.
Sigar, you had indicated it was a $200,000 for planning? What was
that? That's correct. $200,000 for planning and $3 million for an endowment and for initial operations. The other point I would make, Mr. Chair and members, is that this would benefit Rochester, but what's in Rochester would also benefit the entire state. We've seen significant demographic changes going on in Rochester. And we've got a very unique employment community there as well.
We have a question from Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to track the 3.2, and is that an appropriation then to ESO? or is
that
it?
That would be an appropriation fee, so, and then basically we just pass the money through.
And that's my follow-up question, Mr. Chairman, then.
Representative Carlson.
Who do you pass that through to?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson. We would pass that money through to a governing board, to an entity that would be the fiscal agent then for the money.
Representative, a governing board then, so then we would have in effect what I used to call years ago an additional system. I mean, when you say a governing board, Mr. Chairman, is that governing board in or outside the University of Minnesota Board of Regents or the Minsky Board? How do you involve the systems? I'm just trying to track the dollars. And how you would see those being expended and by whom?
Seagard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, my understanding is that the money would initially go to a governing board, but we left the door open. The governors left the door open so that if another entity, another institution, the university, for example, wanted to, they could come in, or it could be independent.
So, Mr. Chairman, when you say you've left it open to a governing board, that sounds as though you're talking about an existing governing board, either Minsky or the U of M or some of it to each of them, being that they both have higher ed interests in the community?
Seagar?
I think, Mr. Chair and Representative Crossman, the understanding would be that there would be sort of a startup. I mean, a number of times you'll have a group that's the startup kind of governing board, and then it will transition to something else. But initially there would be a governing board. And again, we've left the door open so that if somebody else wanted to come in, that transition could work out some of the legal ramifications, et cetera. But I think the idea is right now to leave it somewhat open so that we wouldn't exclude interested parties from coming in if there were.
So, Mr. Chairman, and
Representative Carlson,
when you say another governing board, that goes back to my earlier comment then that we would in effect have a third system, either short-term or long-term, that would have a separate governing board and be responsible to one campus and one community.
Ms. Seagrave.
Mr. Chair, there was a problem in the very beginning that might be the case, but it wouldn't necessarily be the case. As you're saying, short-term versus long-term, it wouldn't necessarily be the case long-term.
Representative Plusk.
Mr. Chair, my question isn't on Rochester. Surprisingly enough, it's on something else. But if there are more questions on Rochester, I'll hold.
I'm not that familiar with, you know, the city of Rochester and what's there. I've been to the community college once or twice. If this goes forward, would there be a large capital investment you see down the road for building a campus? Is that part of the plan? Or is that what has to be determined by this committee?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that there would need that is something that would probably need to be discussed by the committee, but also by this governing board to decide what they wanted this thing to look like. So I would expect that there would be some bonding funds at some point in the future that would be made available for this.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Seagard, when you took a look at the recommendations for Minsky, you presented the Minsky proposal a little bit differently than Minsky did. They presented their proposal by saying they had an enrollment recognition of about 130 and then about $66 million in new initiatives. When you went through the governor's proposal, I see the new initiatives, but I don't see a clear recognition of the enrollment to the extent that I've got their wheel in front of me. If I spin their wheel, I would get about a 9.5 increase in tuition. Can you tell me what the estimate that the governor has on the increase in tuition for Minsky, given the governor's proposal? And then can you just walk me through again exactly what we're going to do with enrollment recognition here? So, first of all, what would you anticipate the tuition increase to be at Minsky under the governor's proposal?
Ms. Seagarden?
Mr. Chair, we have a quarterly meeting, thanks to all of you, on projections with all of the systems at our office. And we had our last meeting, I think it was Friday. And we asked that question. We heard from the university that their expectation is not to increase tuition I don't believe they got their full funding increase. We asked MNCU as well, and they were not able to tell us yet. I think that's something that they're trying to figure out internally. So,
well, Mr. Chair, Ms. Seeger, did they have this wheel? It's sort of a neat thing. They gave it to us. Did they have that
wheel? No, I don't have the wheel myself.
It's a shame. It's a great tool. That's why I'm hoping this thing really works. I want to keep spinning it, and I hope I'm spinning it correctly. But considering gambling is also part of this budget, I'm getting used to it now. Okay.
We haven't had a chance to make tuition. We really want to leave that up to the system, because it's really their decision to decide how much tuition to charge the students. That's not the legislature's job necessarily, or the governor's. But I would like to say, with regards to the enrollment adjustment, it is in law. But the governor's not saying no to more funding for higher education. In fact, he said yes, more to higher ed than almost any other area in the state budget. He just wants the dollars spent more strategically. So the money, part of the request is there that needs to be made. It's just not in the governor's mind. He'd like to see the money spent in a different way, but he's not saying no to more funding for higher education. I think I made that clear. We've also been asked by the governor to take a look at higher education spending and the funding statute. And so that is something that during the summertime, along with a number of other things that we've been asked to take a look at, we will be taking a look at that enrollment adjustment and the statute, and including getting a broad stakeholder group together to take a look at that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, is there someone from MNCU here today that could answer my question as to what the anticipated tuition increase would be with the governor's budget?
Representative Pawlowski, I don't see anyone jumping up.
I don't see the wheel either. There it is. The students.
The back of the room.
Looks like the students. One. All right. Well,
maybe that's for another day.
All right. Mr. Chair, one last question.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Seegart, in the past, we've recorded or registered enrollment recognition a little bit differently than we are right now. Ms. Seegart, would you say that enrollment recognition now is being totally in the column of new money, and it is no longer considered part of the base of the systems? I'm particularly MNCU now. Enrollment recognition is no longer part of a base adjustment for the system. You're considering it new money.
Ms. Seegart.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski. Yes, the governor's considering all the any funding above the base new money.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Seegart, but those students exist. I mean, that enrollment increase is there. Someone's going to have to pick up the tab for the new students. So if we do not recognize those new students, then either at the system level or the campus level, one way or another, there will have to be a recognition of those new students. Is that correct?
Ms. Seegart.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, the governor's proposing additional revenue, and he's making a suggestion about how that money ought to be spent. I would guess I would respond that he's not ignoring the MNCU's request. You know, he's not able to meet the entire request, but he's tried very hard, I think, to come up with revenue for higher education. And as I mentioned, it's more than any other area of the state budget, to my knowledge.
Well, Mr. Chair, Ms. Seegart, if I'm going by what MNCU presented to the committee, and they gave us a number for enrollment recognition, and then they gave us another number for new initiatives, given what the governor has for a number, which is significantly less to the tune of about $23 million of just enrollment recognition, I would take a look at the governor's budget request, and I would say that MNCU has a base cut of about $23 million. And that base cut, according to their own figures, would be about a 10%, 9.5% increase in tuition.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about is that let's say there was less money for higher ed than the governor was ever even was able to put on the table. I mean, if we're only able to fund the enrollment adjustment every single time, then where's the opportunity to provide some strategic direction? I mean, I think his attempt here is to try to provide some direction and some focus and some strategic direction for the system in terms of how, for the state's good, how the money ought to be spent. Again, you know, we're going to be putting this group together this summer, and we may decide to keep things just the same, or we may decide to do things differently. I think, you know, your points are well taken, but the governor does have a different perspective.
Mr. Chairman Seacard, I respect that. I also respect the fact that it's likely that we're going to have another double-digit increase in tuition, at least on the Minsky side of higher ed. And it could likely be dramatically more than that if the campuses also increase tuition to make up for costs at the campus level. So if the system recognizes about 9.5% increase in tuition, and we start going by campus, we're easily into 10, 11, 12% increase in tuition. And my concern is my first question that I asked today, when you pointed out that there was, with the Citizens League, a concern about tuition. I share their concern. I share it because for the past several years, we've had double-digit increases in tuition. So as much as I'd like to do the governor's initiatives, I don't think you can do new initiatives when you're not funding the base. That's my point.
Ms. Seagard, any response?
Mr. Chair, I guess my concern is how do you ever do anything differently if you only fund the way you've always funded things?
Well, Mr. Chair, Ms. Seagard, when we being the legislature, funded balancing the budget by giving these systems a base cut in 03, I think that when you dig the hole, and it looks like we may be continually digging the hole on the Minsky side, you can't go up when you're continually going down.
Ms. Seacard.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pelosi, you know, I can only tell you that we've tried over a series of weeks and months to find as much money as we could for higher education. It was not an easy task, given the size of the pie, and that's a whole other discussion, but given the size of the pie, the governor tried to find as much money as he could for higher education. It is our hope that large tuition increases will once again not be passed on to students. We don't have control over that, but it's our hope that that will not be the case. We're pretty sure that the university will not move in that direction. We're very hopeful that Minsky will not choose to do so either.
Well, Mr. Chair, Ms. Seacard, I share your hope. I would hope that this year we would not pass along to students double-digit increases in tuition, mainly because I think to do anything else that you want to do here, you defeat the purpose of trying to do it by having the students carry it with double-digit increases in tuition.
We have a question from Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't quite hear what Ms. Seacard said relative to the meeting last Friday in tuition. You said something about the University of Minnesota said what at your Friday meeting relative to tuition. If you could repeat what you said earlier.
Ms. Seacard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, members, we have a monthly quarterly projection meeting with the system, and as the meeting is open to the public, it's something that the legislature has asked us to do, and at those meetings we talk about tuition increases and in enrollment expectations. And during our meeting there's an indication from the university that they would not be likely to raise tuition. And from Minsky, they weren't able to really give an answer at that. I mean, we understand that it's more complicated. They have more campuses and many different types of campuses, but they were not able to give us a number an indication that we needed.
Representative Carl.
Mr. Chairman, that answer is certainly different than the testimony that we received from both of the systems when they did their overview, when they talked about what might happen under different scenarios. I would hope, and they're represented in the audience, there was a request by Representative Pawlowski apparently to have someone get up and nobody did, but I would like to know under the governor's scenario what their projected tuition increases are, because they certainly led me to believe that even with their budget request there was going to be a tuition increase. And now you're saying that they're saying no tuition increase from the meeting on Friday. That just doesn't fit the testimony we've had before the committee. So there's a major misunderstanding somewhere.
Mr. Chair, Representative President, I might have misspoken. Each system, I think, had come forward with an initial estimated increase, which was 5.5 for the university and 4.5 for Minsky. Is that right? 4.2 for Minsky, and the university is saying that it would not increase tuition beyond what it originally estimated. It would take around 5.5%.
Okay, Mr. Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, well, that helps clarify at least part of it. It still leaves the question open, I think, to hear from the systems, because I think those numbers that they shared with us at the time were if they got their budget request, and those were the percentages they shared. They obviously are not, under your proposal, getting the request. But I did, Mr. Chairman, have another question. And are there any other areas in the state budget where we recognize enrollment increases, or I'm talking now health and human services, the prison system? I know you're a member of the cabinet, so I assume that you're part of all discussions, perhaps, and you would know beyond the HESO and higher ed requests what may be happening. So are there any other increases in enrollments being recognized anywhere else?
Mr. Chairman Carlson, I have been privy to some of those discussions, but the person next to me has far more experience in the area of finance, so I ask that Mr. Michigan be given a chance to respond to the question.
Please identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Mark Michigan with HESO. Representative Carlson, to your point, I can tell you what's in the base budget. Certainly enrollment changes occurred in K-12. They occur in many human services programs, which are considered entitlements. They occur in the crime budget, part of their budget with the state prisons. I do not know to what extent they've been recognizing the government's recommendations. So, I suspect that at least in K-12, part of those changes have been recognized.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I did reference the prison system as well, and it's my understanding, in fact, I'm shuttling today back and forth between Ways and Means and here, that those increases were recognized in the prison system, but when we move to education, they're apparently not being recognized, at least in higher ed. They may be on K-12 right now. I'll have to see what they're talking about there when I excuse myself in a few minutes to maybe shuttle back and forth. I did have one comment, though, when Ms. Hegard on several occasions said that this was one area where the governor had provided increases. I think we have to keep it in the context that this is also the area of the state budget that had the most severe cuts last biennium. And I would argue that even more and what the governor has put on the table is needed if we're going to reverse some of the negative impact of what happened last biennium. And I'm not alone in that thinking. I follow the media quite a bit, and there's been a number of editorials in the major newspapers and so on in terms of how we need to improve our investment in both K-12 and in higher education, but probably more on the higher ed side, I think, in terms of what some of the damage has been done last biennium, and I'm not sure that this budget brings us back from there. Whether we debate increased enrollment or the numbers you choose to use, I happen to agree with Pawlowski. I think Representative Pawlowski is correct when he raises questions about not recognizing enrollment. They have that cost on the campus. You have more students and you've got more costs. I think we all understand that you have to generally offer more sections. I asked the president of the University of Minnesota if they could take any more students on the margin this upcoming biennium, and he said no, they were full. Well, when you're full in and you're not recognizing enrollment increases, full meaning I assume that the sections and so on were either at capacity or beyond capacity, and when you're not recognizing the enrollment, then you're not recognizing the costs that the systems incur. And that erodes, in my view at least, quality. But I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman, because I think we're going to have a lot of debate on this budget.
Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hegard, I want to go back to the Rochester University thing. You mentioned that there's a lot of needs in the Rochester, a lot of needs in the Rochester area, and I guess I wonder if you can elaborate on what those are and how this institution is going to address those needs. What are they that aren't currently being met in the educational arena, and how is this going to this proposal going to move us forward?
The Seaguard.
Mr. Chair and Representative Eastland, over the years, and this has been going on far longer than I've been here, for a couple of decades, I think, there's been a debate going on about what ought to happen in Rochester. some time ago, there was a collaboration that was created among a partnership among Winona State University and the state, the technical and community college that are down there. There are a number of people. I would argue that they're doing a decent job, but they've kind of carved out their niche as opposed to sort of working as a collaboration. So, at least that's what I've heard. A number of the leaders in the Rochester community are saying that for their employment needs, they're not getting what they need from that existing situation. And so what they would like to have is something more. There's a significant group that wants a University of Minnesota campus in Rochester. I think our proposal leaves the door open for that, but it doesn't dictate that that's what has to happen. And I think we ought to discuss a number of different models. The other thing is that if you look at Rochester and what's happening in terms of demographics, that community is growing significantly. There are a lot of resources down there. There's a significant employer, diverse employer community that's down there. And I think that the resources that are down there are something that could well support an institution like this. It would be a benefit for the state as a whole. But we've heard a lot over the years, and I'm sure a number of you have as well, from folks in the Rochester community that something different ought to happen. And I think they'd probably be happy to talk to you directly.
Representative Lentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Hegard, I didn't catch or I didn't understand the line item for the Minsky budget referred to allocation model. Could you repeat for me again what that is referring to, $50 million in there apparently for implementation of the allocation model? That's not a line that I saw in the request from Minsky.
Mr. Chair, again, I'd like to ask Mr. Canis to respond to Representative Lentz.
Question,
okay.
Sure. The allocation model, again, is something that Minsky's been working on for a number of years to allocate money within the system. This is in part recognizing the enrollment adjustments. They had asked for two parts of that adjustment, and nearly $59 million of one-time money and $72 million of ongoing money, or $36 million a year. The $50 million is roughly $25 million a year, so goes at least a significant way towards that ongoing money. But again, because they've been very interested in fully implementing this model, money was set aside to help them do that. And there are some interesting aspects of the model that they're much better prepared than I am.
Representative Lentz,
Mr. Chairman, is it Michiganis? Did I pronounce that correctly? So you're saying that allocation model does include some enrollment adjustment considerations for Minsky that are not recognized at the University of Minnesota?
Because the allocation model is enrollment driven, there is some connection to it. However, it's not driven by the same formula that's used in the base budget to arrive at Minsky's estimate for what they need to enroll.
Representative Lentz.
Mr. Chairman, I guess just a follow-up on some of the discussion that we've had. I would hate to think, given the cuts that were in the last biennium and the failure to fully fund the universities and Minsky's requests, at least compared to need, we still seem to be in a deficit funding mode for our higher education. I hate to think that the governor's budget is simply one of foisting upon our higher education systems the management of decline rather than the advances toward excellence. It looks to me like this budget is more geared toward managing decline just because of the huge shortfall in overall funding for the universities and Minsky's needs.
Ms. Hegard?
Mr. Chair, I think, unfortunately, if you look across the country, higher education, has, to share kind of state budget funding, has been in decline. It's not just in Minnesota. It's something that's happening across the country. It's a larger discussion, but it's because there are parts of the budget that are putting pressure on higher education and some other areas. So it's not a situation that's unique to Minnesota. I think the goal is we want to try to find sufficient resources but at the same time, we've also got to think about how to spend our resources so that we have more efficient, more strategic.
Representative Lance.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Hegar, what has been unique to Minnesota in the past has been the substantial amount of resources we put into higher education. I don't accept as an excuse just that everyone else does it or everyone's in the same boat. We've set our priorities in Minnesota differently than the rest of the country, and we've got an economy, and we've got an employment base, and we've got an education system to reflect those priorities. I don't see those in this budget. I'd like to see it.
I think 2 years ago we really concentrated on the state grant program when we had to do the cuts. So we did target whatever money we had to students. And so there have been attempts made to maintain our standard. But again, the emphasis was on the students.
There's just a point that reminds me that I wanted to note. You know, we're putting a small amount of money into the grant program. Basically, it's savings that we're arriving at from the Cell Grant change that occurred. But, you know, we're not putting any more revenue into the state grant program. That's very controversial. We have a number of stakeholders that are very, very upset about that, and we're going to take a lot of heat for that. I'm not happy about it either, but it's the, you know, you have to make tough choices, and this year the governor decided to focus his new funding on the system.
Anyone else have any additional questions? Any further comments? Otherwise, we would like to thank Susan Hegard again for your presentation from Higher Education Service Office. And we'll be seeing you again sometime, perhaps. And if we have one other item of business, members, we need to approve the minutes from the January 26th meeting. Anyone care to move?
I'll move, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Opatz moves the minutes for Wednesday, January 26th.
Okay, go ahead. One more slide.
Mr. Chair, I got so absorbed in Rochester that I forgot about the last slide. My apologies.
I can take a real quick vote on the minutes here, and then we'll get back. Would that be all right?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor of the minutes of the 26th, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And we've approved the minutes. Now, Ms. Hegard, I'm sorry, you may proceed if you got one more slide.
Yeah, we just have one more slide, and Ms. Hannah, I think, will address the 2 points. I think it's clear school licensing and then the transfer of HEPA responsibilities, the facilities authority to the school.
Mr. Chair, members, actually, there's a third bullet on that chart. I think I was probably going to speak to it very briefly. First bullet is to merge the Higher Education Facilities Authority, or kind of referred to as HEPA, or its acronym, into the Higher Education Services Office. This authority has been in place since the early 70s. It issues revenue bonds for the most part for the private colleges to build the facilities on their campuses. There are actually bond issues that deal with community college facilities. And the idea here is to create some efficiencies, both in line with our larger role as a state agency overseeing work for our education system, but as part of that enlarged role, to merge the strictly administrative office into ours, we hope to find some efficiencies both administratively, through lease savings, bond council costs, things of that nature. And we also have some ideas to save some money for them on issuance costs through some credit enhancement. So that's kind of a rationale behind that particular legislation. The next bullet is the increase in private career license fees. These haven't been changed for a number of years. The revenue change is to cover some increase in costs. It's a relatively small amount, $11,000 the first year, $50,000 the second. And then finally, the governor's spoke about reviewing higher education funding structure. And I'm sure you can see that stuff about that.
Reviewing the higher education funding structure is one of the things, as I mentioned, the governor's asking us to take a look at. When we talk about higher education funding, we're always talking on the margin. we talk about the increase in funding and how it should be spent. Today, for example, we're talking almost exclusively about the 8.4% increase, but there's not a venue for discussing the full $2.7 billion investment in higher education. That's essentially off the table. Given the challenges on the horizon, funding, tuition, growing expectations for higher education, the governor suggested we look at the $2.7 billion investment. Let's make certain our funding structure is optimal and positions Minnesota well for the future. And the questions I think we ought to be looking at are, does it create the right incentives? Does it create disincentives for excellence? Can we do better? And I want to make sure you all understand that Colorado is just one example. It's not our goal to be like Colorado. And then just in closing, I would like to say that Minnesota needs a strong higher education sector in the years ahead. I've heard a number of you talk about that today. The governor's budget reflects his commitment to invest and his interest in reform, mission focus, and accountability. And the governor's been clear that higher education is a key priority in his budget. Thank you very much.
Any questions, Representative Lance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Hegard, the private career license fee increase, is that the license fees for the private career schools? And what percentage increase is that?
Ms. Hegard?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is just for the private career schools, and it's about a 15% increase. We've been working with them throughout this process. We also took a look at neighboring states to make sure that we were consistent. When we looked at neighboring states, we were a little low. So it's consistent with the fees that are charged in some of our neighboring states.
Representative Lights.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Hegard, how much revenue do you expect to bring in as a result of these fee increases?
About $1,000 in the first year, that's my understanding.
So,
Representative Lance.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Hegard, that's the total amount that you expect to receive in addition because of the fee increases on all of them?
Ms. Hegard. Representative Lance, that's correct. And again, it pays for the program. We're not creating or taking in any extra money. It pays to run it. It pays for the actual running of the program.
Thank you. All right. Again, thank you for your presentation.
I apologize for the confusion. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That's right. All right, I believe that concludes our business for the day, so our meeting